CliffCentral.com.
Well, there's a happy song. That's Jackson Brown with Somebody's Baby. It's just one of those happy songs. I mean, it's kind of old. It actually, I remember it from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, which is a classic 80s movie, but it's a really cute little song. And I don't know much about Jackson Brown, I've got to be honest with you. It's almost like a bit of a made-up name. I don't know.
It sounds too funky to be
real.
Yeah,
I really, he's a singer-songwriter, right? And he's now, I mean, if you look at the picture of him when he did Somebody's Baby and you look at a picture of him now, he looks like a homeless man, an old homeless man. I mean, he was born in 1948, so he's no spring chicken, but he's not exactly ancient. And he's done okay. He sold 18 million albums, which is not bad. So on the TV show this week, we've got a really controversial guest. Yeah, speaking of what made me think of him was the 18 million albums that Jackson Brown has sold. So this guy who we've got on has sold 20 million books.
Okay. Is it self-help?
Mm-mm.
It could be helping some people.
It might be, yeah, maybe. Let's try and, you try and guess who I've got. Let's play this game. Go on, just guess.
Is he South African?
No. Is he a Hardy-Dar Ibis? No.
Yes.
See, the Hardy-Dars know who he is because they're involved in some of the stuff that he's involved in. Come
is
on.
Is he a mining magnate?
No, he's not a rich person. Oh, but he sold 20 million books and let's speed this along. He is the world's most well-known famous conspiracy theorist.
Ooh, is it Shane Dawson?
Who's that? Oh, that's that makeup dude. Oh, yeah, yeah.
oh, come so on with the old man noises.
Sorry, I just had to have one more. His name is David Icke.
Okay.
Have you heard of him?
I have, yes.
Yeah, David Icke is probably the most famous conspiracy theorist in the world. He's the one who believes that we are all actually ruled by an Illuminati of reptilian monsters who sacrifice children and run the universe.
Agenda 21.
Yeah, and he says that the moon is a hollowed out like star base for these people, like the Death Star in Star Wars.
I was about to ask, is he a flat earther?
Oh, he's something else. But you know what I want to do? And I'm telling you because you listen to this show ahead of time so that you know. Because I think he's very controversial, says some very, very bizarre things. And some of it is obvious and complete nonsense, right? But I want to give the guy the benefit of the doubt because we're living in such strange times where the people that we thought we could trust aren't looking as trustworthy as they did before. And where the conspiracy theorists start looking like they might have a point, that's when you know it's time to open your ears and open your eyes, right? Mm. Now, I'm by no means saying that I endorse any ideas that David Icke has ever come up with. In fact, I think a lot of them are complete crackpot theories. But I'll treat him with the respect that he deserves on the show. In terms of letting him articulate certainly his position on, you know, conspiracy theories and why people believe them and why he thinks he sold 20 million books and why he fills up 1,000-seater amphitheaters with people who want to come and hear what his thoughts are. There's got to be a reason that we as human beings go to conspiracies in the absence of something better.
Do you think he does it for literally the sales and the money? Or do you think he really believes this stuff?
Well, he's such an interesting man from that point of view because he used to be a professional footballer. Then he became a broadcaster, right? He was a TV and radio personality and a journalist. And then in 1990, he started delving into this conspiracy stuff. And he's been the guy. He's the most famous conspiracy theorist in the world. And that since 1990, this has been his life. This is all he does now. as he goes deep into all these conspiracies. And, you know, some of the stuff that he's put out there is outrageous and frankly, quite offensive. But
yeah, he's been banned on some platforms. Yeah, and
but he's made a living. He's made a living out of this stuff. So you could say, well, maybe the guy is, you know, faking it. But I think he genuinely believes it because it's come at a huge reputational cost to him. I mean, he's got his supporters, but mostly people think he's lunatic.
It's so more damaging than harm.
Let's see what happens. I'm just excited to actually talk to him myself because he's quite famous, you know. He's quite a well-known guy in that world. So let's see what
happens. What I struggle with people like him and a lot of other conspiracy theorists is how do you just survive through a day of just a normal life if you think there's so much working against you and there's so much trying to end your life and screw your life and we're being played? How do you even go and buy something at the shop with a dollar or pound, because next thing you'd be like, well, the pound is actually controlled by the aliens, which are part of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
What I'm worried about, Sia, is that as soon as we have him on the show, I'm going to start getting emails from all these crackpot followers of his, and I'm going to be spammed with conspiracy shit, which I really don't want. Like, if you want to go and search for that stuff, you can, and there's lots of it on the internet. But don't draw me into it. Like, I'm not, just because I'm having him on doesn't mean I'm opening the door to all this bullshit on my timeline. So
you're not endorsing it.
Exactly. You know, it's like, for example, you can invite someone to a dinner party who radically disagrees with you. Well, back in the days before COVID, and they can sit there and talk their nonsense at the table. Doesn't mean because you've invited them to your house that you endorse all their ideas. People seem to have lost this. It's a small thing, but it matters hugely.
I had to make a concerted effort to stop doing research on him over the weekend. Because once I got into one article, then I went to the next. What? This coronavirus was planned and for decades.
Oh, no,
it's not a virus.
And I've got to tread carefully, because if I let him just go on that stuff, he will start pulling out like some very strange ideas. And I mean, you just let him ramble. So luckily, I've only got, I think, 8 minutes with him on the TV show. So it's got to be very focused.
Keep it tight.
Yeah. Anyway, later on this morning, I think this is going to be fascinating. We're going to talk to someone called Palesa Lengolo, who is an author of a book called Stokvels, How They Can Make Your Money Work For You. Now, you know, Stokvels are like, it's really the big secret weapon in South Africa in terms of community saving schemes. And we're going to find
pyramid schemes.
Well, no, because everyone in the group actually gets the money at least at a certain time. So you contribute and contribute and contribute, and then one month it's your month, or 1 week it's your week, and then you get your big payout. So it's just it's a kind of a community savings scheme of a kind. And in South Africa, these are hugely popular because this is the only way that, you know, someone in a very poor neighborhood might be able to buy a fridge or a TV or whatever, because when their month comes around, they can afford that one big purchase. So it's a forced saving situation, and it works for some people. So we'll find out what Stokvels in South Africa are all about. And I wonder if you are a member of a Stokvel, maybe, because really this is the big financial story of South Africa, and many of the more formal financial institutions don't take Stokvels seriously, and they should. So we'll speak to Palesa later on. Very exciting to find out about this.
Especially when you think about how much money is being generated put into Stokvels. It's in the billions.
It's billions and billions of rands.
Wow.
It's the economy's secret weapon, according to Palesa. So we've got to look into this, because God knows we need a secret weapon right now, don't we?
Anything at this point.
Exactly.
If I just were to lift up my mattress and discover some money, I'd be so happy.
Exactly. All right. A few things we need to touch on before we get to Stokvels, though. Sia has ordered an outfit of hope This is,
oh yeah,
I assume, Sia, this is something that you've decided to buy in the hope that you'll soon be back out there doing normal stuff.
Yes,
you'll be just able to laugh, wear it. Yeah,
laugh or cry with me on
this
one.
Did you buy it online or did you go in?
Yeah, I've ordered it online, and I'm actually even thinking of, I just don't know where I could get a mannequin, but I want to get a mannequin and dress it up with this outfit, and I just want to stare at this up until one hopeful day. I'll be able to put the outfit on, and I'll be able, you know, for an occasion, and leave the house all dressed up again and go somewhere fun.
Is it a sequined suit?
What does it look like, Sia?
How did you know? It's actually black and metallic.
Oh, boy. Okay, right. I could have guessed the black part because you only wear black.
Oh, but the metallic, you know, everyone.
Where do you even find something like that?
Oh, it's, everyone needs a bit of razzle and dazzle in their life. So this is a true and through, have to wear it out. You can't just wear it for a Zoom meeting. No.
Hell no. Yeah, there's so many things in my cupboard. I've got to say, though, being back on television, I've had to start thinking again about what to wear, which I hate because it's another reason that TV irritates me. You know, for the radio show every morning, I dress like a complete slob, and it doesn't matter. It's radio. But now suddenly I have to think about, what's the outfit? And it's not just like a top. I have to think about the whole thing.
Yeah, you've got to do. You can't do the shorts on the bottom and the.
And I haven't bought clothes. This is embarrassing. Maybe not. Maybe it's the case for many of us because of lockdown. I haven't bought new clothes for easily 9 months.
Yeah, many of us haven't.
Nine months. Easily. So I'm wearing stuff I've had in my cupboard for years. And I couldn't be bothered. Like, I'm not going to go to the shops now.
Well, unless there's a need.
No, there's no need. I mean, I can easily scrape together what another couple of outfits for this, you know, this show. I'll be all right.
Scrape together.
Yeah, I'm sure I can. Like
Yeah. You know, no, I honestly love and miss getting dressed and dressing up and leaving the house. I honestly miss even just being in studio. There's this mental shift for me that happens when I'm out of the door and I have to, you know, I get my wallet and my bag together and I get into the car. There's this mental shift that's just not the same every single day, you know, just being in front of my laptop here. So, yeah.
And for me, it's the total opposite.
I can't remember when last I wore a suit, for example.
A suit?
Yeah. So hang on. Leanne, you say you're the opposite?
Yeah, absolutely. Like getting dressed and getting a handbag and finding an outfit and all of that stresses me out. I've kind of lost any passion that I had for fashion. I don't know if it's an age thing, but like now I'm happy just to wear classic, long-lasting outfits.
Oh yeah, look. The days of the days of spending on like big name brands, I think for many people are over, not just because we've all decided to cut our budgets and to cut our cloth according to our wallet, but also because there's no one really to show off to, you know?
I think
this is such an interesting realization. And in many ways, I'm sorry to always come back to lockdown, but we are in the middle of it still, and it doesn't look like there's an end anywhere in sight. But you can really cope with a lot less. We used to use a lot more, and we used to travel a lot more. If I think about how busy my life was and how my weekly meetings were, you know, every hour there was something going on, and I had to be here, and I had to drive there, and I had to fly here, and I had to see this person. Now it's so much calmer. And this is what I was asking for, so I mustn't complain when I get it. And I think for a lot of us, having less in your life is actually a kind of a blessing.
To think about it, for most of us, we had to put in an extra hour or 30 minutes on either side of a meeting just to account for being on the road.
Absolutely. And for travel and for everything else, you know, and traffic. And, you know, now, because there's so many fewer cars on the road, so many fewer, is that correct?
Not really.
Okay.
Correct that sentence. You know, teacher Leanne, tell me how to say that better.
Because there are less cars on the road.
Mm-hmm. So fewer cars?
Yeah, okay, because there are less cars on the road. Thank you. Oh. We'll take Teacher Leanne's advice on this one.
Yeah, never mind. English is my fourth language.
Teacher Leanne says, because there are less cars on the road, it's a pleasure to drive. It's really easy. You just hop in the car and you don't have to really account for traffic.
But then you get the Leanne's of the world who, what you admitted on Friday, you said it was the first time that you drove over like 80K.
Over 60.
Over 60. The other day. For the first time in weeks.
Yeah, in months.
Yeah, I don't think I've actually been on a highway in forever now.
So here's another thing to think about while we're in this particular line of conversation. My sister sent this to me over the weekend. A lack of exercise is now causing as many deaths as smoking across the world, according to a study published in The Lancet, which is a famous journal of medicine, to coincide with the build-up to the Olympics, which would have been now. It estimates that about a third of adults are not doing enough physical activity, causing 5.3 million deaths a year. That's 5.3 million deaths a year just because of laziness, effectively.
Yeah, it could be laziness, but then I'm also thinking about how widely the survey was conducted. And if you think about how people live in most of Europe, in these tiny apartments, where they're not even allowed to walk their dogs in certain areas, then I wouldn't say laziness.
Yeah, but
I suppose you can do jumping jacks.
No, you can always walk in the street, and you can. There are very few countries where you're not allowed to actually go for a walk. No one can stop you from doing exercise. And you know what? If you have a room that's just big enough to swing a cat in, you can exercise in that room. I mean, that's all I've been doing through winter. I haven't
swinging cats.
No, I mean I've been using these crummy little weights of mine and using my body weight and just trying to keep, because I've actually lost some weight during lockdown, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a discipline thing. You can't not do things. You cannot be sedentary the whole time. You can't sit in front of a computer or a TV screen all day and expect to be healthy.
Mm.
Yeah, well, I suppose with us as well now, no one's really looking at you or scrutinizing your body or seeing you in real life. It's winter. We can cover things up. There might be a bit of depression or hopelessness and you don't feel like exercising.
But you have to. You absolutely have to. Look, I don't know what story around the Olympics I read the other day that made me think about this, though. And maybe I'm just too petty to even compare myself to an athlete. But if I had qualified for the Olympics, I would be so pissed.
We discussed this with Bulelo last week. And I said
so
to him,
pissed.
You know, he said, oh, no, but these athletes can just they pick it up. Like if they know that there's an Olympics in 6 months time, they can switch on the machines and they can be in fighting fit shape. You know, I don't know. It must be very frustrating to have the goalposts moved effectively.
Right.
You're getting yourself into shape. You're thinking about what you need to do. And then suddenly they say to you, oh, no, the Olympics are not on. And then you can't train at a gym. And I would be very pissed. So if this was my life, you know, if this was my whole world. And, you know, there are these people in the fitness industry who've pivoted and they've been able to turn things around. And now they've got their own Zoom fitness classes. And we spoke to a guy last week who, you know, with martial arts.
Yeah.
So there are ways to do things. And don't get me wrong. I have the world of respect for people who have figured that out. But I still think it's down to the individual at the other end who either wants to get up and exercise or, because trust me, I don't feel like it.
Well, you never do.
No. I mean, it's different. If you're going to the gym, you can sometimes find the motivation to do that. You know, once you're in the car and you're on your way there, there's no turning back.
And you know you're going to have that kawaii smoothie afterwards.
Yeah, sure. You find things that, you find stuff to motivate you. But it's really tough in the mornings after the show for me to, okay, the next hour is about doing some exercise. I'll do some lunges up and down the passage, or I'll lift these weights up above my head, or I'll lie down on this and push these things into the air, or whatever it might be. It's not fun, and it's the same boring, repetitive shit now going on, what, 4 months? It's March, April, May, June, July. Yeah, it's almost 5 months. So it's really...
It is that tough discipline and being diligent. For me, it's been food, because I am a grazer. I rarely like sit down and have one big meal, but I like to nibble and graze throughout my day.
Yeah.
And I have these two pretty jars of, you know, one has cookies and another has marshmallows, and I've always just liked it just for aesthetic purposes. But now whenever I'm just passing by the counter, it's like, yeah, okay, let me just have another cookie, and let me have another marshmallow, and then let me have a slice of cake. And
and it's not just you, Sia, all of us. It was my dad's birthday over the weekend, and my sister-in-law made some cake. Man, it was nice, but I had to have a piece, and then I had to say, that's it, that you can't have any more, even though it was so nice. You just can't.
I'm really fortunate in that I don't have a sweet tooth in that way, only every now and then. But what I have noticed, I mean, I don't even like crisps.
Uh-oh.
And I'm not a snacker at all. I'm the opposite of you, Sia. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd like a good cottage pie for lunch, and then I'll have nothing until dinner.
Yeah.
But what I have noticed is with lockdown is that I've kind of got into the snacking thing. Uh-oh. And that's out of pure boredom. But I see people at grocery stores are definitely buying up crisps and things like that.
I was behind a woman at the shop the other day. When did I go and do some shopping?
Were you judging what she had in her trolley?
Oh, please don't do that, because that's actually one of my fears.
Well, there was a lesson in it for me, a very quick version of the story, because you don't need to hear the detail. It's mostly boring. But this woman was kind of moving around the shop at the same pace I was, but her trolley was 10 times fuller than mine. And I thought, geez, what a huge family she must have. And I wasn't judging her, because she wasn't particularly annoying or anything, and I don't know her from a hole in the ground. But when we got to the counters, she was at the till right next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard her saying to the cashier, I need to pack these into separate packets, the stuff that needs to go to an old age home. And I thought,
Oh, wow.
She's buying for other people. What an angel.
That's amazing.
What a lovely woman. And I mean, suddenly my attitude changed from like, wow, she's buying a lot, she must have a very greedy family, to, oh, look at that, there's someone doing stuff for other people.
Okay. Yeah, I unpack my trolley very strategically, because I know people might be watching.
So what do you put at the bottom?
So I'll put out a bottle of wine, and then some celery, and then a bottle of wine and some muffins, and then a bottle of wine and the tomatoes.
So in the end, you've got a trolley that's 50% wine, but you've disguised it.
I want to use that strategy now.
It's hilarious. Hey, our doorbell just rang.
Ooh, someone's at the door.
Who could it be? I love the way that this app that we use on the show in the mornings, it goes ding dong, and then someone joins the conversation. Hey, Palesa, how are you?
Hey, Gareth, I'm well. How are you?
Nice to talk to you. Palesa is the expert I was talking to you about earlier. She's an expert on Stockfels, which I'm fascinated by. I'm sure lots of people are. But could joining a Stockfel be your answer to better money management for savings and investments? Well, Palesa Lengolo is on the line. She has written about these South African financial clubs, and she could tell you a whole lot more. So, Palesa, first of all, how did you get involved in Stockfels, and what's your background? Tell us a bit about yourself.
So basically, I grew up in a household where Stockfel was one of the incomes that helped us get us by. My mom was in a lot of them to make extra money.
Mm-hmm. Where did you grow up, by the way?
I grew up in Eastern Cape in a small town called Matatiele.
Okay.
So basically, that's how I got introduced.
Oh, Palesa, your mic keeps switching itself off onto mute. Okay, so tell me about Stockfels. For those people who don't know anything about them, you explain it because you work with this stuff better than me. And if I say it, it's going to be the longest, most complex explanation ever. You'll be able to explain it.
So Stockfel is just a group of people coming together and putting financial resources together for a goal, a financial goal, that whatever financial goal you do, the only difference is you're doing it with a group of people instead of alone. That is the simplest way I can put Stockfel is. In South Africa, they're just mostly seen as social clubs where people just put money together for social gatherings or for social needs.
So if Leanne and Sia and you and I had a Stockfel, there are four of us. So if we all put in 100
rand... Well, it would be five. Oh, no, it is four.
No, it's... Okay, so Leanne can't count. So we'll definitely... We're going to rip her off in the Stockfel. Okay, so there are four of us, Palesa. So if we each put in 100 rand, then next month is August. One of us will get 400 rand. Is that right?
Yes, that is one type of a Stockfel, which is called a rotational Stockfel. There's a lot of types of Stockfels.
Tell us about some of the other ones.
There's investment Stockfels, there's traveling Stockfels, there's property Stockfels, there's business Stockfels. There's basically, you can Stockfel for anything if you got the same or a common goal to put money towards. So the trick is formalizing it or making it legal by putting agreements in place in order to make it a genuine Stockfel, things like a constitution. Mm-hmm. Then it's a genuine Stockfel and you're going to be under a type of a Stockfel depending on what you are saving for.
All right. So I want to get into the admin of it in a second because it sounds like it's quite simple, but there obviously are some things that need to be in place before you know it's for real. And before you know, you won't be ripped off because there are obviously a lot of scammers out there too.
Yes.
So you've called Stockfels the South African economy's secret weapon. Have you found some of the biggest Stockfels and how many people are involved in these very big ones?
Yes. So for example, the industry is 50 billion worth. It's Ooh. Been around for...
Oh, gosh.
No.
Palesa must come back.
She just stunned us with that amount.
Yeah, and then she dropped out. Ah, there she is.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No problem. So you were saying 50 billion rand?
Industry. And there's about 800,000 Stockfels in South Africa. So they've been around for a lot of years, but they haven't really made a serious impact. I mean, how many people do you know that I'm wealthy because I was in a Stockfel, but it's a 50 billion industry. Mm-hmm. So me, when I did the research and I found the findings that if actually this model can be used correctly, it can really impact the economy. Like the savings that are being put together, if they can be used to create jobs via funding small businesses, because Stockfels basically do have capital just lying around for things that like groceries and burial, and they can be used for things that are beyond that, that I can actually impact the economy. And that's why I make that bold statement that we do have a secret weapon, we're just not using it.
Well, isn't it also part of the problem, though, that people come together to save for a specific thing, which is the whole reason you get into a Stockfel? So let's say it's for, you know, travel or for a wedding or something like that. People aren't really interested in long-term investments. They need the cash for that specific thing.
Yes, but the industry is too wide and broad that there is space to have that. For me, I'm not even saying 100% all Stockfels now all of a sudden must be investment and job creating type of Stockfels. But even if it's just 10% of the industry, it's big enough to say at least 10% of this industry, let's put our funds towards creating a cooperative that will hire there are people in the location. That is not the whole industry, but you're already making a difference and transforming certain part of the industry, especially now that Stokvels are attracting entrepreneurs and attracting professionals. So there are people that are would be able to actually turn the model into something that can actually be more powerful than just a social club.
Are there technological ways of doing Stokvels? I mean, are there apps that do this?
Yes, there is a lot of financial institutions are actually coming to the party now that, as I said, that more people, especially young people, are getting involved into investment clubs. They're coming into more ways on how to attract these big depositing clubs. So, for example, there's FSB registered Stokvel, where it's a very transparent platform that shows who's contributing, how much you're owing, who's withdrawing. So that transparency is very important because of everything that happens. You know, when there's groups and there's people, as much as Stokvel rely on trust, transparency really helps. And that's what the technology brings to Stokvel. Another thing that technology is bringing into Stokvel is being able to collaborate people in different places. So I can be in a Stokvel with the person that is in the Eastern Cape while I'm in Gauteng and still contribute transparently and trustworthy via technology. So there's a lot of fintech apps that are trying to come up with solutions for the industry that are specifically for the industry in order to make it more modern and to serve its purpose more than just what it's been for all these years.
Vanessa, can I ask how does the money generate interest, and does it generate interest at all? For instance, say we each put in our 100, that means next month someone gets 400. Are they not going to get more because there was interest generated on that? Was the money perhaps kept in a bank account?
Yes. So there is different types of Stokvel, what you are describing. And that's exactly most people, when they think Stokvel is only that, they think it's only the rotational one where you just put money to receive another. And that is just one type.
Yeah.
So that type, you do generate it. It doesn't generate much interest because it literally stays in a bank account for 1 month. So it will literally get that whatever small savings account percentage it does. But what Stokvels are moving towards too, they are moving towards, let's save for the whole year, we'll share in December, then get the full year interest. Or let's save in order to invest so that in 3 years' time we're getting a proper, not only our capital back, but also an investment return on our savings. So people are doing it more cleverly because now when you've got higher capital by a lot of people contributing, you get higher interest rate return or higher investment return depending on what you do. So that's why the investing Stokvels are now even surpassing the rotational ones, because people want to see their money more growing than just getting the same money that you put in.
Well, that's amazing. I'm blown away. Have behaviors changed during lockdown? I mean, are people contributing more or less to Stokvels? Do we see them growing? What's going on in lockdown?
I've seen two things. Obviously, the reflection of what's happening right now, being more people withdrawing their money out of Stokvels because maybe they have lost their income or they have got job in cuts, so their income are affected. But I've also seen people saving more now because of the uncertainty. So almost using these Stokvels almost like an emergency fund. And the most interesting thing that I've seen also is now Stokvels really taking their reserves more importantly. So for example, when you're joining a Stokvel, there's a joining fee on top of their contribution. So now people are saving that. They have been saving that joining fee. So for such as this, if there's five of us, one of us loses a job, the joining fee is able to cover that person until they are able to contribute instead of just leaving them out of the stock.
Wow. And then, Palesa, when we talk about Stokvels in a bigger scale, you know, it's worth billions of rands in South Africa. Like, I've heard of franchises or franchise Stokvels, people coming together to buy franchises or coming together to buy property. How does that work out? How does, for example, like ownership work out when you've bought a piece of property now?
So that's why, that's where Stokvels are really evolving into, because people really want ownership and they want to own assets. And it's been very hard because Stokvels have been regarded, even by the financial institutions, they haven't really included them as for transactions.
They didn't take them so seriously for a long time.
Yes. Yeah. So now that they are coming up with this, the financial industry are trying to accommodate that. Like, for example, a property Stokvel will need some kind of home loan support from a bank. So in terms of the Stokvel side, though, you have to formalize it into either a company or a cooperative or a trust in order to be able to participate into property or buying franchises, because it's Stokvel itself is still not able to hold assets themselves by itself, because it's not recognized as a legal entity. So what I'll say clever Stokvels do now, they just use the Stokvel model to raise the capital, and then when they get the capital, formalize it into a company, then buy the property or invest into a business opportunity.
Oh, wow. So it ends up like down the line with, you know, 10 people having a percentage of a property, which is still a game changer.
It's very clever.
Yes.
And we know that in this country, right, so many people are financially illiterate, I mean, in terms of formal education. But that doesn't mean they don't know what to do with their money. There's always this patronizing idea that just because someone doesn't have an accounting degree, they don't know what money is. I've never met any wage earner in South Africa who doesn't know how much they owed and how much they owe and what they've got to pay for. They all know what the hell's going on there, right?
Yes. So I don't even like using the word financial literacy. I rather like using financial education, because with financial literacy, you will make people sound as if you're saying they're illiterate.
Great.
And as you say, honestly, anybody that works with money has got some kind of financial education. It might need to be improved, but they do have it. So for me, what I found specifically among the Stokvel industry is that they are dealing with so much money. It's not that they don't know what to do with it. They just lack information and opportunities. And the industry almost has closed doors on them and have set apart that you are just savings club, nothing more you can do. So, and that's how they have been doing it for years. So now, even when I wrote the book, I was like, hey, you can be a savings club, but there are these other opportunities that you can get into as a Stokvel because you have the capital for it.
Right.
So for me, it was just a direction of there's more information, more opportunities. These are the ways you can maneuver your way among the financial system while you are still a Stokvel, instead of being set of being just a savings club.
Correct. Well, Palesa, congratulations on your book, and I hope that you will continue to educate the rest of us about Stokvels. Are you a member of any?
Thank you. I'm a member of six, of course.
What type of Stokvels?
So I've got three Stokvels and fun Stokvels. Okay, the fun ones, I'm in a travel Stokvel. We were supposed to go, thanks to Corona, we can't go now with my friends.
Oh.
I'm also in a pot Stokvel. We buy nice pots. So that's
fun. It's amazing. I love it. I love this. This is so cool.
I'm also in a property Stokvel and three investment Stokvel. But most importantly, I'm also in the franchise Stokvel that is turning into a cooperative. We're going to be turning a lot of Stokvels into cooperatives. We want to buy into the food industry. It's going to be a first in South Africa. And there's a lot of naysayers, but we're going to see in December.
Well, good for you. And really, it is important that we're all educated about the fact that these Stokvels exist and how we can get involved in them, because they're already happening. And as you rightly point out, like, this is such an easy way for many South Africans to manage their money a little bit better. to do things for themselves, and it's for old and young, right? I mean, it's not just
it's not just
for certain people.
To be honest, Garrett, just like there's alternative investment, Stokvels are a genuine, proudly South African alternative way of saving. And if it's done right, put aside all the scams that take advantage of the industry. But it really is a very accountable way of saving. I'm a professional. I'm young. I'm in a Stokvel. My Stokvel members really hold me accountable into saving. If I was alone, most of the time I'd say, no, next month. Then next month comes, next month. Now I know I've got people that depend on my contribution in order to save. Right. So it has really made my savings better.
Wait, what type of scams are there?
So there's like WhatsApp Stokvels, there's pyramid schemes. Because there's such little regulation in the industry, it's easy to use the model illegally. So, for example, there were the WhatsApp gifting that was going around the past few weeks. People were just recruiting each other with 200 rands and promising each other 6,000 within a day or two. I don't remember.
Yeah, these pyramid schemes are all over the place right now. You do have to be very aware of them.
So in a way, they were calling it a stock sell because it's a lot of people putting money together. But the minute it depends on recruiting people, it's not a stock sell. And the minute there's no legal constitution between people that are agreeing to be exchanging this money, it's not a Stokvel.
Yeah, beware of these pyramid schemes. It's a totally different animal. Horrible things. And they will steal your money. And the only person who ever gets rich in those things is the guy right at the top.
And the National Consumer Protection is after those, the guy at the top now.
Yeah, correct. And rightly so. All right, Balesa, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Gareth and team.
Great to talk to
Very
you.
Cool.
That's very interesting.
That is interesting stuff. That's very, very cool. So Balesa's written a book. You can actually read her book. I'll give you the details now. But it's Stokvels, How They Can Make Your Money Work For You. That's the book by Balesa Nlengolo. And you can find out more about her on the internet. Just type in her name and you'll find everything. Okay, so many things to talk about this morning still.
Very cool.
I mentioned Moonyin Lee, and we'll replay the interview I did with her. Moonyin Lee sadly died over the weekend, and she was a really interesting person by all accounts. I mean, just in the little bit of time I got to know her during this interview, I thought she was great. So I know loads of people in the acting business in South Africa owed a lot of their success to her. She was the casting director and agent. In South Africa.
Yeah, she casted Terry Pett in Tsotsi, which went on to win an Oscar. She casted the South African actors on the Mandela Long Walk to Freedom movie with Idris Elba. Mm-hmm. She was nominated for Emmys. She ended up being on the Emmy judging panel. She is and was the who's who of our acting industry.
Absolutely. Shame. I'm always sad when I hear someone like that's gone, but as I said earlier, she does seem to have lived a very full life. So apparently our bread is changing. Is this right, Leanne? What do you know about this?
Yeah. It's quite interesting. It's
our
happening
bread?
In South Africa particularly.
Yeah.
So in future our bread will likely last 2 to 3 days longer. It's all safe. It's due to the use of a new safe natural preservative.
Uh-oh. I don't know if I like the sound of this. Tell us.
Natural and preservative don't deserve to be together.
Well, listen, I mean, let's not be too precious about this. If it wasn't for preservatives like sulfur dioxide, a lot of our fruit and veg would be rotten in a day, you know? So tell me more, and then I'll make my mind up. I don't eat a lot of bread anyway. What is it?
You've heard of sorbic acid?
Ascorbic acid?
No, just sorbic.
No, I can't say I have.
Well, it's a preservative that's been used for decades in white wines, cheese, meat.
Mm-hmm.
And a decade ago, it was approved by both the EU and the UN's food standards authorities for use in bread. It's already used in baked products in South Africa, so that's nothing new.
All right. Well, that's good.
It's a naturally occurring preserving compound, which originate from berries that grow on the rowan tree. The tree is native to parts of Europe and Asia, but can also be found in South Africa. So up until now, South African bread's been produced using calcium propionate, which was the only substance approved by the Department of Health. But the bread industry has long been lobbying for this change, and it's finally being approved.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting. It's difficult to get your head around it because, I don't know, as soon as the bread passes its use-by date, I kind of want to turf it.
Mm.
Or just use it for toast or crumbs or whatever.
So my sister's boyfriend bakes bread, and it's really, really good. It just makes all the bread off the shelf taste horrible, right?
Yeah.
And I don't have to agree with that. I'm not a big bread eater, but what I like, if I'm going to eat bread, then I'm going to make it count. I'm not going to eat like the bread that's sliced that you find in the shops on the rack. I'm going to buy like a proper ciabatta bread or something like that. Because I eat so little of it that if I'm going to carbo load, it may as well be with really tasty bread.
Yeah, no, I get you.
And Sia, you'll love this. I always think of Oprah. Because
I love bread.
Yeah, that's all she talks about. She loves bread, right?
I love bread. I bread.
Sorry, Sia, you just went off for a second there. I couldn't hear you properly.
Every day.
The staples, this is a really good thing for South Africa.
Okay.
It means that for an extra 2 to 3 days, bread almost becomes, you know, easier to, because before we had to freeze it, for instance, if we wanted to collect up for a charity or whatever. But this changes that.
Okay, I think this is science and technology getting us to a place where we can make things last longer. Good. I hate wasted food. It drives me crazy where every week I have to go to the fridge and see what's still good and what I have to throw out.
Yeah.
Look, my nutritional guidelines are still based on that leaky fruit ad. Do you remember it? Nothing but fruit and leaky fruit. Nothing but fruit and no added sugar, no preservatives. Nothing but fruit and see, so I don't do added sugar.
A liter of leaky fruit will give you the shits real good.
Wait, how do you know that?
Well, I mean, you know.
Oh, really?
But
and no, we don't like too
much
yet.
Too much fruit sugar. But the other thing that's also kind of a staple in South Africa are 2-liter soda bottles, right?
Uh-huh.
And what's changed with that in South Africa is they've rolled it out in, well, there was a successful pilot in the Eastern Cape last year, and now it's in Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and the northern parts of Gauteng. But Coca-Cola Beverages South Africa has announced this initiative that 2-liter plastic bottles will now be returnable.
Huh.
This is obviously to try and firstly make soft drinks more affordable to South Africans.
Okay.
And secondly, obviously take back control of plastic waste. So what it means is that if a 2-liter bottle costs you $20, you'll ultimately only pay 11 because you can get R9 back. So that's quite a big thing.
Look, in these life and times, R9 makes a difference.
Hugely. That's almost a 50% saving.
That's terrific. And at the same time, you're not polluting as much.
Absolutely. Love that idea.
I'm in favor of this. This is good. You see, again, we're forced to make economies here, there, and everywhere, and it has some positive consequences.
Like no added sugar.
Yes.
No preservatives.
Sing your song.
Nothing but fruit and liquid fruit. No added sugar. No preservatives.
Listen, I know parents of babies and toddlers who won't even give their kids 100% fruit juice.
Oh, now you see, those kids, those parents make me want to not even touch their kids even more. It's like, just there are some people that I know who have also created their own baby food at home. They're like, man, what is in the baby food is just so harmful.
They sit there with a food processor and like,
yeah, they puree their own.
No, but that I agree with. That's like cooking. No, but that's like, it's cheaper. It's like cooking for yourself as opposed to buying a ready meal.
Yeah, right.
I grew up snacking on crayons in my spare time in preschool, and I'm fine. So all of those berries can just calm down.
You're not strange at all. You're perfectly
I would have
okay.
a tin of spaghetti yes. And a packet of mini bar ones when I got home from school.
Oh, that sounds like a good time.
Sounds damned unhealthy. That's what that sounds like.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I was just talking to you and extolling the virtues earlier about doing exercise and not being sedentary.
Hey, listen, it was growing up in the 80s, hey?
Yeah, that's true.
I'm
surprised any of us who grew up in the 80s even have any teeth left.
I know. Well, who says these are real?
Yeah, also a good point. All right. Well, there's lots of stuff coming up on cliffcentral.com, and that is through the course of the day today. You can get hold of us anytime you want on 079-748-2090. Lots of messages. Just want to go through one or two of these quickly. We can all see, says Mbulelo. This is our Mbulelo, that Oprah loves bread. There's no need for you to tell us. See ya.
Don't do that, Mbulelo.
Yes. Mbulelo's he's smashing the Oprah Winfrey sainthood to pieces every morning. Hey, listen,
it's still her highest rated show when she came in with that wagon of fat.
Oh, okay, I remember that.
We like Oprah fat.
So here's Claudine. She says, guys, I'm listening to you. I have COVID. I'm at home. I'm feeling a bit better today. I'm a healthcare worker. I love your pep me up. You're ridiculously good at what you do. Top tip, I think anyone with a snot nose should isolate or at least make effing sure that they keep a mask on and sanitize. I got this in an interesting way, not from a patient. Part of my getting it was my own fault. About a judgment issue, I just need to share the truth. Many 20 to 30-year-olds literally have a snot nose from a bit of flu and transmit. So okay. If you're feeling a bit snotty, maybe you should listen to Claudine here and just avoid other people. Hey, Gareth and team, I heard your comments about the exercise routine at home. This is from Ueshi. Ueshi says, check out this website, teambodyproject.com. It's an Australian-based company that have tons of exercise videos you can do at home with little or no equipment. I've been using them for over a year now, and I enjoy all the workouts. I never get bored, and I don't have to go to a gym. Just a small space. That's all you need.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah, maybe I will check that out. Thanks, Awishi.
Team Body Project.
Absolutely. What do you do with the things, Gareth? You see, this is where I don't understand. Sometimes a message comes in and there's no context. This is from Fallen One. I don't understand.
Is it just what do you do with the things?
Yeah, it makes no sense at all. It's just completely unrelated to anything. Just don't message me again, all right? You're banned. Mariska says, less traffic, fewer cars. Yerra, Gareth, you've had less or fewer lessons many, many times. Yes, I know. I still can't get this fewer or less thing. I'm sorry. I am not good at all of it.
I did say fewer cars.
Yeah. Morning, guys. Michael here. He says, I'm still bothered by the Bovril bashing episode. Being a hostel boy, Bovril was a loved staple and a treat when we had peanut butter to mix with it.
Oh, no.
Bovril and peanut butter breath?
Yep. Oof. Michael says, Mbulelo spoiled fancy boarding school duos. Just kidding. He's not a bad dude. All the best for the rest of the week. Best wishes from Switzerland. Michael, do you have Bovril in Switzerland, Michael?
I think I'm gonna have Bovril on toast.
I just got the heebie-jeebies thinking about that.
Bovril in
and peanut butter.
Okay.
Even just the texture, what is that consistency like in your mouth?
Well, if you think about the flavors, right? If you break it down, Bovril and peanut butter. Think about putting peanut butter or peanut into
crunchy
a
and
satay.
Thick.
No, into a satay that you'll have coated chicken with. And I mean, you're vegetarian, so obviously none of this would appeal to you. But cooking with peanuts and beef is common. Like, think of a Chinese beef dish with peanuts in it.
Mm. By the way, Carol has sent me a definition of Karen or Karen. Apparently it stands for, it's actually an acronym now, it stands for Caution Against Racially Exploitative Non-Emergencies.
Like 911, there's a black person walking down the street.
Exactly, yeah. Okay. So there's Carol with some ideas. Someone else saying, you spoke of exercising at home and pushing things in the air. Oh, right. Okay, yeah. The things. It's these two weights I've got. It's such a boring story.
Fallen one, you were confusing us here.
Yeah, sorry. Leanne said less, which is actually incorrect grammar.
Oh, did I say less?
Oh, you see, Leanne.
See what you started?
Less clever than I thought.
Mbulelo's back to defend himself. He says only poor boarding schools had Bovril. Scum food. Ooh. Sure. So superior. Oh, my God. All right. And apparently, Michael says they do have Bovril in Switzerland. It's just a mission to get it. Well, everything's a mission in Switzerland to get, because you have to go up and down the mountains, especially in winter.
Oh, gosh.
Say hi to Tina Turner for us.
Yes. I wonder if you've bumped into Tina Turner at the shops.
Oh, does she live there now?
In the Bovril queue. All right, everybody, that's all we got time for. It is 8 o'clock, cliffcentral.com. We will see you tomorrow. Cliffcentral.com.